God bless you all, saints. I love the Lord. One of these days we won't have to come here anymore. We'll just be with the Lord. And all our burdens will be rolled away. And we'll see clearly. There'll be no more worry, no more stress. Won't be thinking about going to work or anything like that. It'll just be all over. Sounds pretty good to me. Shall we stand and sing my number 198? And these are the closing days of time. In these are closing days of time, what joy this glorious hope affords, that soon, oh, while He shall reign. Thank you. Be too long now, that's for sure. Let's sing number 139, He Abides. We'll sing number 592. This one, I'll need your help because I think I know how it goes, but I'm not sure.
Let's talk about Jesus, the King of
Babe of Bethlehem,
Let's just sing the first verse.
Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings, is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the door. Let's talk about Jesus.
You may be seated. If there's any testimonies at this time of what the Lord has done for them, or is doing, or is going to do. Stein.
I can't remember if I've told this to individuals or not, but too bad. It's a neat testimony. And I think you know that for years I've asked the Lord and trusted Him for healing the arthritis in my ankles. And that came about a year ago. Suddenly it was just all gone. And I've testified to quite a few people, oh, the Lord's healed the arthritis in my ankles. And recently I had to have a pre-op check, and they said, any other arthritis? And I put down in my neck and in my spine. And I felt really convicted of the Lord, because He's healed my ankles. Why wouldn't He heal my neck and spine? So I just thank Him for undertaking with any arthritis in my body that it's all just a lie. And thank You, Lord, for healing all of me. Thank You, Lord.
Amen. It's actually a lot of, I don't know what it's like at all, but I'd imagine it's very painful. And I hear a lot of older gentlemen talking about it at work, you know, taking this and that and trying to stay away from tomatoes and stuff like that to try and combat it. And I thought, surely the Lord can heal this. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And He does. Amen. Is there any others? No? That's all right. There'll be some more tomorrow. Let's sing What I Have, Friend I Have in Jesus, and then I'll ask if Brother Howard would come. Seated. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we're saying about this morning. Just got to do it. Don't have to work it all out. That's a good testimony, Sister Diane. Very good testimony. That's what we should be exercising. Just say, oh, the Lord can heal me with this, but I can't heal me with that. The Lord said, is there anything too hard for me? No. There's not anything too hard for him. So we just thank God for the testimonies. Let's just stand for the reading God's word, and I'd like to turn to Book of Ephesians. Chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's not talking about getting out of bed. He's talking about another awakening. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. May God bless the reading of his word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, how we thank you for thy word. Lord, it's just a balm to our souls. We just love it, Lord. Just makes us want to chase after you more and more. Seek you out every day, Lord. May it speak to each heart. Lord, and we just pray that you'll quicken those things we need to know. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I just want to take our reading, our text from our reading in verse 14. Awake thou that sleepest. Interesting, isn't it, how God's addressed that through the apostle. Awake thou that sleepest, thou that sleepest. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. As ever, is a godly admonition to the believer, is Ephesians 5. It's good to read it right through. So much in there. But note the Holy Spirit clearly addressing the believers as his bride. Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So we know who it's addressing. It's not addressing the world. It's talking to us as believers. And Paul is warning the believers, especially those of us living in this evil day. The more so we see the day approaching. And it's not the first time God has had to awaken his people. Oh, we're a sleepy bunch. I tell you, we're always going to sleep. God has to shake us and wake us up. And he wakes me up all the time. And I said, oh, now I'm awake. A few days later, I'm back to sleep again. Not good. But God's got a way of waking us, and he's good that he wakens us. And I just pray that we'll not drift off to sleep. It just seems to be a human nature, something where we drift off to sleep. Now, this is not a natural sleep we're talking about, as I said before, but although sometimes it can include sleep, sometimes you've got to pray, praying earnestly, and then what happens? You're dreaming, right? You wake up absolutely horrified because your prayer was sincere, and God definitely was sincere, but then you find yourself asleep. Has anyone ever had that experience? Raise your hand. No one's had... You've had the experience? I've had it many times. So I was talking to Brother Colin Younger in England one time. He's gone to be the Lord now, Brother Colin. And I said, Brother Colin, what do? When you go to praying, do you just go off to sleep? He said, no, I stand up and pray. He says, I walk backwards and forwards praying. Try it. It works. You don't want to go to sleep walking because that's not good. So, brother and sister, just remember that. We need to stay awake when it comes to things of God. And even when the situation is very serious, human beings are slow to react. And I'm going to give an example from the Word of God. It's found in Mark 14, 33 to 40. Now, this is unbelievable that, oh man, these disciples were a bunch, weren't they? But we're no different. Listen to this. He taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground. This is in Gethsemane. He prayed that if it be possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them praying sincerely. Doesn't say that, does it? Where was his faithful disciples? He findeth them sleeping. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not watch 1 hour? Why didn't you just pray with me for 1 hour? I'm going to the worst experience of my life. Watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them. What happened, Peter? Sleep again. Can you believe that after the Lord asking him to stick with him 1 hour, he comes back to his faithful believers and sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. They were speechless. And brother and sister, we've got to wake up. We really do. May God help us. Disciples did not perceive the seriousness of the hour. Jesus was seeking the victory to go through with Calvary. For you and for me. The whole of mankind was weighing in the balance the outcome of this Gethsemane, waiting on God, was in the balance. His disciples were sound asleep. And Jesus was going with it alone. And people failed to understand. Jesus as a man had to come to terms with his death. He had to come to terms with it, being separated from God. And to become sin for us. He's coming to terms with this. His faithful disciples, instead of having a prayer meeting, went to a sleeping meeting. They're all sound asleep. Oh man, I guess they really regretted that later on. But Jesus never condemned them. Because when he went back, it's another account, found them sleeping, he just left them. Just let them sleep on. I wonder if anything has really changed in this evil day we're living in. No one's willing to pray. No one's willing to intercede. Prayer of intercession is such a rare thing today. Do we understand the seriousness of this hour that we're living in? I can honestly say the answer is no. We do not understand the seriousness of the hour living, otherwise this church will be full. The Lord has to wake Israel many times through the prophets. It says in Isaiah 51:16, "And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I might plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, Thou art my people. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord in the cup of his fury, that has drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out." In Isaiah 60, verse 1, we read, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." So, brothers and sisters, these things are coming upon us. We're going into the darkest time in history. Not the Dark Ages, it's worse than the Dark Ages. Who believes that? Just read the news, just look at it. Who was telling me today? Was it, or Tim, somebody? It's getting really bad. What's happening? It's just everywhere. So it takes the mercy of God to awaken us. I cry for the mercy of God to awaken me. Do you cry for the mercy of God to awaken you? If he doesn't wake you, you sleep on. It's terrible. If he does not waken, we are doomed with the rest of them. This is a sleeping generation. The Bible says we're a sleeping, neither hot nor cold, neither committed or anything. It always requires the hand of God's mercy. Unless he comes to us, unless he establishes us, we are history. We are history. Psalm 127, verse 1. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." In other words, if God doesn't put his hand on your life and on my life, we're going down the tubes with the rest. So, brothers and sisters, may God awaken us. There may not be many awake when he comes. I don't think there will be. There'll be very few awake. "Except the Lord awakens you, you will not be ready." So we're really looking to the Lord, even today. We need to pray for the mercy to awaken us. There's awakening power. God can awaken you like that. 1 second in the presence of God will make you really sharp. So may he be good to us. So many churches, including message churches, are falling asleep. And some are dead. Just dead. They go, "Oh, those all say the right things, all do the right things," but they're dead. No spirit amongst them. It's just all legal things. It says here, Brother Branham made this statement, "Lord God of heavens and earth, you're a righteous Lord. Noah preached 120 years. And were scoffed at. Others have preached through the ages, the prophets. Jesus preached before the great destruction. Martin Luther in the First Reformation, John Wesley, Sankey and Finney, Moody, down through the age. And here we are in the evening lights, and you're still God. And you've still got witnesses on in the earth. The gospel's been preached all over the nation, signs and wonders are following. Oh God, awaken the people quickly before totally annihilation strikes." We've been warned. It's coming. I want to be ready. Who wants to be ready? Say amen.
Amen.
"And all as long as there is an age, from everlasting to everlasting, there'll never be another chance or a sermon preached. God, men and women in here tonight may be receiving their last call right now. I pray that you'll be merciful unto them and save them. You'll be called a fanatic. You'll be called a crank if you want to. But at the day of the judgment, you'll find out it's thus saith the Lord. Right. No wonder we got a church that's dying. Not dying, he said, but dead. The Spirit of God is grieved and gone from it. Our ways have grieved him away. Our differences, our indifferences towards him is what done it. I don't want to hurt you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to awaken you. God have mercy. Now, brothers and sisters, they're speaking to us all, including me. The truth is we need God's help. People in natural sleep cannot waken themselves. It takes outside intervention. Who believes that? Do we understand our spiritual condition? Many do not realize they are asleep. Even in this church, they are actually asleep. Like a sleeping person does not understand their house is on fire. They do not realize it because it takes outside intervention, maybe take a fire alarm or a person to awaken them. And spiritually, there's only one fire alarm, and that is the Holy Spirit. He's the only one who can wake us up. Oh, think about that. It really makes me wonder. God, awake me, awake my family. Wake each one of us here. According to Revelation 3, this generation is in a knowest not condition. Knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. God promised to anoint our eyes to thyself that we may see. It's well over 50 years since God took his prophet. Compared with the world church, maybe we are ahead. But according to the New Testament standards, we are way behind. Who believes that? We're actually way behind what the early church standards were. I like to be honest and upfront. We don't want to be imaginary, dreaming silly things. We've got to face the issue. We are asleep. Malachi 4 was sent to restore us back to at least the early church at Pentecost. And Brother Branham says here in 65, there's so many of them in the world today, little borderline believers. They want to believe that the Holy Ghost is real. They want to believe this is the apostolic move, as God promised in the last days, he'd pour out his Spirit. He wants to believe in Malachi 4, that he promised that in the last days, the original Pentecostal faith would be restored back to the church again. Malachi 4 claims it. Behold, I'll send you Elijah in the last days. That's right, he says. And he will restore the faith of the children back to the fathers again. See, the faith of the fathers to the children also. See, it's got to be. Then directly I heard that real sweet music come again. Here came the same little bride coming back again. He said, this is what comes out through. And when she walked by, she's exactly like the one in the first place, walking to the step of that music of God's word, marching on by. She is the same bride, the same kind, built out of the same kind of material that was in the first place. Now read Malachi 4 and see if it's not supposed to have a message in the last days that'll turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, back to the original Pentecostal message word by word. Who believes that? Say amen. Brothers, we are here. What is it? Jesus said in Luke 17:30, that in the days like it was in the days of Lot, the same situation, before the Gentile world is burned up, he said the Son of Man will reveal himself in that day. He made the promises of Malachi 4 promises. It would say a message would come forth that would restore the people back the original Pentecostal message with the same blessings they had on the day of Pentecost. It's clear, really clear. He says in the token message 64, he promised Malachi 4 that he would do this and manifest his word to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers again, back to the original Pentecostal word, the real Bible word. Not the Pentecostal. They claimed to be the Pentecostal organization. There's no such thing. Pentecost is an experience. Who believes that? Say amen. It's not a church. It's an experience. Pentecost is an experience. He goes on, not an organization. They try to organize it, but you can't see. It doesn't organize. Pentecost is an experience. It's the seal of God, the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost. What did he say in Malachi 4? He would restore back the original Pentecostal faith, back to the people in the same Pentecostal message, the same Pentecostal sign, the same Pentecostal evidence, the same God, the same power, the same teaching, everything exactly with the vindication of the pillar of fire that struck Paul down on the road down to Damascus. Among us today, doing the same things he did in that day. Now, 40 years later, we are further back than we were 30 years ago. People have lost their zeal and hunger for the things of God. Brother and sister, you're losing your zeal and hunger for the things of God. You need to get down on your knees seriously by yourself and seek God about it. I really believe that. Many are too busy with other cares of life to give up the whole, to give their whole life to God. What is it? They will be a very small group who will wake up in time. Like in Noah's time, after preaching 120 years, only his family of eight went in. So we're expecting great numbers to go in. I think we need to think again. This may be it here. I'm saying that because I believe it. There's nothing promised about great numbers. Little flocks, little flock. Fear not, it's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. In Luke 12:15 we read, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. I want this, I want that, I've got to get this, I've got to get that. Watch that spirit. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, a ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whoso those things be which thou hast provided, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Brothers, so you get everything you want. And then when God pulls the plug on you, you lose the lot. The only thing you hold is your relationship with Jesus Christ. This man was asleep in our story to the realities of this temporal life. He was consumed with daily living, not knowing it was his last day on earth. Wanted to build up his business, wanted to get more money, more goods, new cars, and I don't know what he was trying to do. So many sit in the churches and say, all is well, take thine ease. And God's word says differently. So the final call, there's coming a final sweep of God's Spirit, a real final call. Not to the lost or to the backslidden. No, it'll be a call to those who are ready. The final call is to those who are ready to enter into the marriage. It appears the foolish virgins never woke up in time. They slept on. It'll be too late in the glorious day to make ready. The shout has already gone forth to his people. Have you heard it? Here comes a call again to his bride in Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time, that is now time, high time to awake out of our sleep. It's not speaking about natural sleep. It's now For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. You've never been any closer to the coming of the Lord than you are right now. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us all pray that God will allow us to wake up in time. May he wake me up today. May he wake you up today. May he reveal to you and me the seriousness of the hour in which we're living. The world's not interested in God. They've gone without him. They can't understand what's happening to the weather. Everything's going crazy. The earthquakes and everything. Well, we're entering the last days really proper. And they don't even know that they're not right with God. If you're a child of God, you'll hear the voice. You'll hear his wake-up call. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that a wonderful promise? No one's going to pluck you out of the Lord's hand. But we must do our bit, and that is to answer the call of God. Nobody can wake you up, but God can. Ask him, Lord, please awaken me. Awake thou that sleepest. Let's read that in Ephesians 5:14. Therefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Have you been truly filled with the Spirit? His Spirit. Live right in the fear of God until he does fill you with overflowing. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something seriously. Then we're coming to the table. You need the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you're going to go to sleep through it all. You're going to need it. And you say, oh, I think I got it. Or I'll just keep seeking for it, for more of it. For the hour is at hand when he'll come. And those that are ready will receive him. We'll be taken to meet the Lord in the air. You may not see Christmas. He may come before that. I want to be ready. Who wants to be ready to say amen? Shall we just stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to you this afternoon, Lord. And Lord, these are very serious words, actually. You've spoken them yourself, Lord. They're everywhere in the scriptures to wake up. Awake thou that sleepest, to rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Lord, this generation has fallen asleep, unaware of the serious time we're living in. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to every heart and draw us closer to you. Have your way amongst us even today, Lord, as we come around this table. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless each heart, and those that are joining with us at this time, may you bless them in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
I'm good. table, brothers and sisters, and we'll may God help us to all wake up today. I really pray we will. I really pray He'll be good to us and help us. Thanks, Brother Tim. Would you like to commit it this time to the Lord, please? Amen. So we're here this afternoon to remember what He did for us. This is not the communion. People say it's communion, but actually the communion is between you and God. But this represents what He did for us, and we do it in remembrance of Him. It's a remembrance table, really. And the communion will be between us and God, and thank Him for what He's done for us. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11:23. We read this. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This stern remembrance of Me. You realize what the Lord went through? Had His body broken, ripped open for you. That's why we're broken in bread, because of His broken body. And after the same manner, He also took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of My blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's good, isn't it? But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord. That's good too. That we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. So as we come and we commit this to the Lord, commit ourselves to Him afresh, that He will forgive us. He has forgiven us. And we're just remembering what He's done for us. then we can really enter into a true communion with God because of what he did for us. So we're just going to have a few moments to examine ourselves and that God will deal with each one of us. May we wake up. We've been sleeping, that he'll forgive us for our slumbering and our slothfulness to the things of God. May God forgive us and mean it with all your heart, and he'll bless you. So let's just have a time together with our Lord individually. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Paul, would you like to ask the Lord to bless the elements and bless his time as we partake?
Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you bless these elements here today, Lord.
Mm.
That, Lord, we can be close to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
To feel your presence with us, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, we may hear you, listen to you, Lord,
Amen. And
obey. We just thank you so much, Lord, for your presence in our lives. We pray that you touch us here today.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. So as you partake of your portion, you just say, thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. And may he draw us closer to him, us to him, this afternoon. And we've been sleeping, that he'll wake us up. Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. Hallelujah, Lord. Can we sing the song, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein?
There is a fountain.
Yeah.
Beautiful words. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Brian. We don't just commit us to the Lord as we go our way. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Dear Lord, we just commit all things to you now in the loving name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that last verse, shall we? Where the whole round. See you Tuesday night, Lord willing.